This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios. Speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? You better visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That is 208-467-7468.
It's time for a new episode of Hold the Mic with Jenna and Lexi.
Hold the mic.
Welcome back to Hold the Mic. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Lexi, and we are back for another episode.
Now let's start this episode with getting off into our segments.
So we're going to start with Game of the Week. The game of the week that I'm looking forward to, or I guess games of the week, is March Madness, the Final Four. I just want to start off by saying all my picks except for UCLA were correct for the Final Four, and I'm very, very proud of
that. I'm very proud of you.
And so on April 3rd, Baylor will take on Houston, and Gonzaga will take on UCLA. I do have Houston winning it all, which I did get some hate for that at the beginning of the tournament, but for right now, I feel like for the Final Four, I've done pretty good. And I think it would be cool for Houston to win because Boise State played them their first game of the season. And they lost by 10, which, like, isn't, like, a lot. So
proud of you.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. But those are the games I'm looking forward to. What about you? That'll be
fun. Okay, so today, actually, we're recording this on April 1st. So today is actually the Major League Baseball 2021 regular season kickoff, pretty much. So the opening day starts with the Toronto Blue Jays taking on the New York Yankees. And I think, like, I don't know. I'm just so excited. I love baseball season.
I know, me too. I'm a big Red Sox fan, and the game today is being postponed because it's raining in Boston.
Of course.
So I'm really hoping that doesn't happen. But yeah, I love baseball. I'm super excited for
it. It just reminds me of summer and warm weather.
Well, I grew up in the ballpark. Like, I grew up working the concession stand, like being the first one in the morning for opening day. Like, dad was on the board of Little League, all that stuff.
I love that. That's so cute. I love it.
Baseball will always have a special place in my heart.
Okay, moving on to our next segment is Cheat Sheet. So this is your fact about sports. And today, because of our guest, I wanted to pretty much talk about the history of Boise State football. So Boise State originally began as a junior college, and they first fielded a football team in 1933 under the head coach at the time, Dusty Klein. And then Boise State's football program then moved on to become a four-year college, basically, in 1968 under the head coach at the time, Tony Knapp, and competed as an NAIA independent for two seasons. Then in 2010, Boise State joined the Mountain West Conference, which we currently compete in. And then currently we're in the Andy Avalos era for Boise State football, and we're looking forward to an upcoming season starting on September 4th against UCF in Orlando, Florida.
I'm so excited. And isn't that game College Game Day?
I think it is, right?
Yes. So I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited to see what Andy does with the team. And yeah, just next season.
No, it's super exciting. Do you want to get on to who's on our radar?
Yes. So the athlete who's on my radar is Sedona Prince, is a 6'7 forward on the University of Oregon women's basketball team. So a video of Sedona's went viral on TikTok about a week or two ago, kind of comparing the women's weight room versus the men's at the NCAA March Madness basketball tournament. And the video that was posted got a lot of views and kind of raised a lot of awareness and about just the inequality when it comes to women's versus men's sports. And so because of this, the NCAA revamped the women's weight room. And currently, Sedona is suing the NCAA in a class action antitrust lawsuit. challenging name, image, and likeness of restriction. So pretty much in an interview I saw on TikTok, Sedona explained the reasoning behind this is so college athletes could begin making money off of social media endorsements or sponsorships and stuff like that. So, but I believe that what Sedona has done with the NCAA and just speaking on the inequality when it comes to sports is really awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. And I think it's definitely something that is important for us as females in the athletic industry at a college is really important for us to recognize. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. But my radar, I have Avery Williams, who is a former Boise State cornerback, two-time Mountain West Special Teams Player of the Year, who he took part in Pro Day yesterday for Boise State. So I'm just really looking forward to seeing what happens with him in the NFL draft, which is scheduled for April 29th through May 1st. Okay, now our segments are over.
Yes, this is not an April Fool's joke because we're filming this on April 1st.
But our second special guest is Boise State's starting quarterback, Hank Bachmeier, here with us recording for Hold the Mic. So, Hank, welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful day. It's sunny outside. Feels like old California.
Oh, yeah. The best. Okay, so a nice segue with you saying California. Can you just give us a little background about yourself, where you're from, all the things?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm from Southern California, and I go to Boise State, play football here. I'm the oldest of five, grew up in Orange County, and then I moved out to Murrieta area when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and then just kind of grew up. I was homeschooled through middle school, and then went to high school at Murrieta Valley High School. And then played football there. And I played a lot of sports when I was younger, and just being the oldest of five, just had a lot of fun, having three brothers and a sister, just growing up with them, hanging out with them, loved my family, and played football in high school, and then just was fortunate enough to be recruited here, and I love it here.
That's so cool. So I know that you had many offers from other schools, 22 to be exact. Why'd you choose Boise State out of all of the schools that you had offers from to play?
I just think the opportunity here was one that I couldn't pass up, and I thought logically, and I kind of broke down the decision. Because I did have some Pac-12s and some SECs that I was looking at pretty seriously, but what it came down to was, just the ability and the opportunity to come play somewhere and then play somewhere that wins. You know, I think it, if I look at some of my other options, not to bag on anybody, but I think that just Boise State in general just wins and has an opportunity to go to a New Year's Six or that college football playoff, kind of be that first G5 team to do that. And I kind of wanted to be a part of that. That's my goal. And I just think that the opportunity here was an incredible market to just come play in a very winning tradition with schematically. I just think a really good fit for myself. Coach Harson, Coach Avalos actually too, and Coach Hill, now at Arizona State, were just some of the guys that recruited me here early on when I was a sophomore. And I'm super grateful for them. Coach Harson at Auburn now, Hill at ASU, and then Coach Av, he left actually, so I graduated early to come play here at BSU. And so I got here in January. I think he left in March, maybe February, to go take the gig at Oregon as the DC. And it's just really cool to have him recruit me and come back, a few years later, a couple years later, be my coach, and just have that prior relationship with him is really good. But yeah, super happy for Harse and Coach Hill, and if they're listening, what's up, guys? I'm really excited, but I love it here. Just all aspects of the weather and all the things to do, the activities. You know, I think it's 65 degrees outside right now. Yeah. So you get a little bit of snow, and for me, yeah, the winter time, it's becoming spring. When it is cold, you appreciate the sun more. You know, I when I it kind of reminds me of California just because, you know, you forget about how sunny it is and just to be grateful for the weather. And I'm loving today, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah. No, it's a really nice day out. But kind of going off what you said with goals that you have in, like, choosing Boise State, what's kind of the legacy you want to leave, or where do you see the program going while you're here?
I just think as a unit and as an individual, you know, I just try to be better than what I was yesterday, you know, throughout my process, and just be consistent, you know, because I think one thing, at least for myself, is, yeah, you can be really, really good on one day and then kind of slack on another day, just throughout all your habits, not just as a football player, but as a person, as a boyfriend, as a son, as a brother. I think that, you know, sometimes I can lack in some areas as far as my habits, you know, I think everybody does, but just for myself, just to be consistent every single day with my process, with my habits, and as a team, if we can do that, we can be really successful, I think.
I love that you said that. That's really cool to recognize. So I'm just wondering, who do you look up to as an athlete?
Who do I look up to? There's a lot of guys I look up to. I mean, Brady's a guy, obviously, that people love, and obviously he's been pretty incredible throughout his career, and just his habits, when we talk about consistency, habits, and process on and off the field, I think he does an incredible job. He's got his TB12 method going on. He's one guy that I definitely look up to. Another guy is Drew Brees, who I was just talking with Ryan out here about, Saints fan. Just Drew Brees and what he's been able to overcome and accomplish is another guy that I kind of look up to, and him playing, starting out in San Diego. He's originally from Texas, grew up there, and then went to San Diego. He tore his labrum, rotator cuff, basically completely ripped his arm off, basically. And they basically said he would never be able to come back. He came back with the Saints, and that guy is a surgeon. He's a precise as possible, like as you possibly can be as a quarterback. That guy just came in and worked every single day. And those are a couple guys that I look up to for sure.
Yeah. What has it kind of been like being a D1 athlete at Boise State and a student athlete too? Because
yeah.
You're a student as well.
Yeah, and shoot, took an exam yesterday after practice and everything, and probably should have studied a little bit more on that one. but it's hard. It is really hard, you know, to people listening out there that want to kind of just chase this dream and chase this goal. You got to be committed to it because it's really hard every single day. You know, you brought up Avery Williams. Talk about a guy that worked his butt off. He was a walk-on, had no offers, very short, stubby little guy. Nah, he's shredded. But talk about a guy who worked hard. It was Avery, a walk-on. Came here, no scholarship. Now look at him. He's got an opportunity to go to the draft. He's a guy, you know, I had a scholarship coming in, but I can only imagine how hard it is for people to walk on to universities and go play and even play at other divisions of college, you know, athletics. But speaking from a football stance, yeah, football is really, really hard. And, yeah, you're a student athlete, but at the end of the day, I think that football – is a big priority, probably bigger than school. I'm just being realistic. Yeah, you got to be on top of your grades so you're able to play. I think that's kind of the commitment that goes along with playing college football. But just the every day grind, every single day is really tough. Yeah, you got to wake up early. I mean, you know, the dancers they do it. They wake up early. I see it every day. It's hard, just for any sport. You're waking up every single day early, then you got meetings, you got practice over those meetings, and then you got to watch film, then you have class on top of that, and I got a puppy. I just recently got a puppy, got to take her out all
she's
the time.
She's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, she's a pain in the butt. but yeah, I kind of got myself in that one. But
thank you.
There's a lot of commitments, and then I'm getting kind of into making dinner and stuff, not eating out as much. So you got to find time to meal prep that stuff too. And it's tough. It's a tough life out there, man.
So with being a D1 athlete comes media exposure. And I know that maybe you were exposed, like the media kind of followed you during high school, but it's a way different field once you get to the collegiate level. Could you talk about kind of like what that's like, having your name and picture all over ESPN?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm on a hold the mic right now, you know. I'm on as big as it gets.
Biggest platform you can
get. Yeah, the biggest platform there is. But yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's pretty freaking cool. I'm not going to lie, to see your name on ESPN and all these people talking about you. Yeah, you can, it's pretty cool, but then, you know, sometimes you get a little big head and then you can get knocked down right away.
Yep.
Johnny on the couch, you know, watching the game, says some stuff. You know, so social media for me has been something that kind of a yin-yang deal for me, just bouncing back and forth from it and not just try not to pay attention. You know, I really didn't pay attention too much in high school. I used it to get recruited. Never had an Instagram, just made an Instagram, by the way.
At QBHink19 on Instagram.
No, yeah, thanks for the plug. But no, just for myself. Yeah, social media is definitely something that I think it's really, really powerful in positive ways and in negative ways. And I think that you just have to understand the neutrality of where you need to be objectively, and just, you can't be too high or too low, but it's definitely cool. And it's definitely an honor to be able to be on podcasts like Hold the Mic and ESPN and all that stuff. Yeah.
Did you see yourself like at this point, like growing up as a kid, were you always like, I'm going to play football in college and be at the point that you are now?
Yeah, I mean, that was always the plan. That was always the goal. But when it actually happens, you're like, holy crap, I'm actually doing this. I'm actually playing college football. And, yeah, sometimes I think that actually just speaking to you about it right now just gives me perspective that, yeah, I play college football. It's pretty cool. You know, I talked about how tough it is, but it's pretty freaking awesome at the same time. That's why, you know, it is tough, and it's kind of like a, you know, I don't do drugs, but I'm sure or, you know, I don't do drugs. I don't, you know, I just got into poker. Maybe it's kind of like that. You know, I don't gamble too much, but or I can't gamble, actually, NCAA stuff. But you're going to have those days where you feel like you're on top of the world and you feel like you're the man. And then the next day you're going to want to stay in your room all day and you don't want to go out. It's tough. Yeah, but there's definitely some awesome big wins, and there's definitely some low lows. But yeah. That's where I was going with the old drugs deal.
Thank you.
Gotcha. Yeah. Clarifying thank you that. For
yeah.
Clearing
don't
that
do drugs.
Okay.
Eat your veggies.
Moving on, right. So the whole high, low, lows kinds of things. How do you really deal with like good game versus bad game? Because we've seen you after a good game, and personally I've seen you after a bad game. And
yeah. No, it's tough. It's tough. I'm still trying to work on that kind of deal. You know, I think mental health is important, really important. I don't think with, you know, I don't know how it is with the women's sports, but for men, I think it's something that's starting to get bigger and bigger. Just dealing with the mental aspect of the game and the stresses, not just with the games, but in life, you know, what you're dealing with. Like I talked about, it's tough, you know. I'm the oldest of five. I miss my family every single day. So there's some stuff where I wouldn't say you get depressed, but you get pretty sad. You know, you miss them. I miss my brother's games, and I miss them. Miss my mom's food, you know. But I think that all of that kind of attributes to what you're talking about as far as just that mental psychology aspect is way more important than the physical aspect. And for myself, yeah, just from bouncing back from those games and having successful games, yeah, it's kind of like I talked about earlier where, yeah, you're on the top of the world for sure for a little bit. And if you let that ride out, you're going to fall down pretty hard. So just being able to find that objectivity of just being neutral and understanding that, okay, that game is over. Yeah, it was a great game. What can you do to learn from it? Whether that's a win or a loss, I think that's where you got to kind of go back to square one and just kind of look at, okay, what did I do well? What do I need to work on? And what can I kind of, what can I take over from this past game, whether that's good or bad? You know, just speaking from experience, I've had some really bad games. I've had some okay games, and then just trying to figure out what I can do to transfer those successes and also those failures into more successes in the future. And I think that that's a thing that I'm trying to chase every single day. Just, you know, as far as anybody else, I think in life, man, when you have failures, you have adversities, what can I do to kind of overcome those obstacles in life and learn from it?
That's great advice, like for anybody at any age.
No doubt.
Or any
no
level,
doubt.
Any sport.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, so, you know, sometimes, you know, sports psychology is really important, and I think mental health is really important. And I don't have all the answers, but I go to people, you know, sports psychologists, and I think that it's really important to go see those people. You know, Russell Wilson is a huge guy on that stuff for performance. You know, when you hear psychology, you hear, you know, people with disorders or mental illness, but I look at it as an edge and an advantage to be able to master your mind, and it's something that I'm really getting into and working on right now.
Yeah, kind of going off that, I've seen you in post-game press conference and stuff, win or loss. How do you kind of approach those situations?
Because
you're dealing with whether it's a win or a loss with your team, but then going out and talking to the media and bringing others kind of into that perspective. How do you kind of like deal with that or approach those situations?
There's guys, you know, there's guys that are fishy and stuff too, that, that kind of you can kind of tell if they're snaky or not and what they want to kind of get out of you. So I think that when you're dealing with those guys, you got to be able to just, it's kind of like Coach Harse was, you know, he was the master of giving information, but actually giving nothing to the media.
Yes. He
super did that.
Yes. He was so good at it. It's like a tactic. Yeah.
Yeah. He's all into that. And I'm sure the reporters hate it. You know, they absolutely hate it.
They did. Cause I hear the other side of it. Oh, cause dude. I just sit there and I'm like, I'm grateful for him to be talking to me, but
yeah. No, I don't like, what do they say? I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking at it from a player's perspective. You know, I'm an idiot, so I don't know.
Not to hate on any of them. I love them all. They've been great mentors, but I guess they do kind of like poke or fish for information.
Yeah. I mean, it's their job.
Yeah, no, exactly. They're trying to get information out to the public, but also you have to understand, and I feel like being an athlete at Boise State, you have to understand that like there's just information that doesn't need to be shared to the public and that the public doesn't need to know, or like things that are going on like individually or personally with a team.
Yeah. You know? No, they can definitely do some things, twist your words and stuff, but you have to be careful what you say, what you're talking about, you know, going from a high school media platform to college level platform. I mean, it's big boys, you know, it's not professional, but especially Boise State football in Boise is big. And there's some great reporters out there. I really do like them. But yeah, it's like you said, Harse was kind of Fort Knox when it came to questions, you know, if that makes sense. Coach Avalos, from what I've seen, I haven't really paid attention too much, but from what I've seen, he's kind of a little bit more open. I don't know if you can speak on that, you know, just with your background.
Yeah, I haven't personally talked to him yet, but
yeah,
from what I've heard, he's definitely a little more open.
Yeah.
And he's also new. He's coming into like a new environment. Mm-hmm. So I guess going off of that, how have like your interactions been with the new coaching staff?
Yeah, no.
Everything.
Well, like I said in my brief background, Coach Av is a guy that recruited me. He's from the same area as me as well. I don't know. He's from Corona, California. We're from the Inland Empire, rep to 951 right there. but yeah, so we're from the same area. So when he was recruiting me and stuff, I think it was pretty cool. We kind of had that connection, if that makes sense. That's a cool connection we have. So he recruited me at Merida Valley High School. He's that area recruiter as well, or he was. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the big man now. He's the boss. But no, so he's the boss right now, but he recruited me since I was a sophomore in high school, and from there, he left to Oregon, and he's coming back, but my relationship with him is awesome, just having that prior relationship with him, and him recruiting me and building a relationship with my family is awesome, too, because my family really respects him and loves him, and so that's, from a head coach perspective, he's the big man, he's the boss, and then who I'm dealing with on a daily basis every single day. His name's Tim Plow. He's a San Diego guy, SoCal guy. Coach Plow is my offensive coordinator, and he's my quarterback coach. He's brand new. He's coming from UC Davis. He went to Davis. For him to – what was that?
I didn't know that he went to Davis. That's
really
cool.
Yeah, he went to UC Davis, played quarterback there. And he's a guy – he's coming from he's an alumni of Davis, and he's coming from coaching there. He had been there for a very long time. I think he met his wife there, kind of deal. Aww. So he it took a lot for him to leave Davis, I think, and for, you know, this is what he tells me, I don't speak for him, but it took a lot for him to leave Davis, and he did it because he believed in a guy like Coach Avalos, and he believed in his system to come here to a place like BSU, and I'm really excited to see what we can do offensively. It's going to be a new scheme, new structure, but I'm really excited to just see what we can do. He's super cool. He's got that San Diego vibe like I talked about. He's from SoCal, and he's not a yeller. He's a big communicator, and he always calls it a partnership, and that's one thing that I'm trying to get used to, you know. You know, he almost, because he is my boss, he's my boss, basically, and he talks about it as a partnership, and our relationship's got to be in sync. For us to be in sync, you know, and executing, and I'm basically his eyes on the field, so it's really cool to see, and I've only known him for a couple months, but just building this relationship with him has been awesome.
No, that's super cool. And I think it'll be really cool for Boise State football just in general to have this brand new coaching staff.
Yeah.
Like clean slate, all the
no
things.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's like a new era.
Totally, yeah. And I think that's really cool. I mean, since Brian Harsin went to school here and then he went and became a coach and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, could you talk about, because I know there's a new strength staff.
Yeah.
How do you think that's impacted the team so far?
Well, it's kind of like you talked about. Change is good. I think change is really good. And we're going through it a lot, you know, just athletically at BSU, have a new AD, had a new president a couple years ago. So, change is really good. And kind of bouncing on your question here, the strength staff is incredible. I'm super into science and kinesiology and working out, just maybe because I play football. Yeah. But I love all the stuff, biomechanics and the science of, you know, all that's nutrition and everything. And Coach Kagi, Coach Brando, Coach White, they do an incredible job. And it's definitely a lot different than what we had. Coach Pitt's incredible, and his staff did a great job for years. But I think just these guys do a great job of understanding that football is the most important thing. Like, it's not bodybuilding.
Yeah.
It's we're here to play football. So they understand the requirements and the demands to play football. So they're not beating us up too much in the weight room. But I think that the transferability from the weight room, from our speed sessions, from our running sessions, translate really well to football. Yeah.
I think that's really cool. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know, but I feel like from the vibes that you're saying, it almost makes you want to push yourself harder because you trust them and you know that they're doing everything they can to make you a better football player.
Yeah, and they're not, the thing is too, is like they don't try to kick your ass every single day.
Yeah,
like
that's really important.
They try to like save your body for the next day, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You know, I don't know how it is with your guys' sports, but they don't try to just drag us into the ground in this old school mentality, military style. It's very scientific. It's very progressive. And I think that it's going to be a game changer for us. I really do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You, like, you sitting here talking about that, you just sound like so excited and so passionate. Would you say that, like, every single guy on the team feels the exact same way? Because it is a new transition. It's a new change. Some people aren't as open or excited about change. So do you think everyone's kind of on the same page?
Yeah, no, I can seriously speak from the strength perspective just because that's who we've been dealing with the most, if that makes sense. So the season starts, you said, September 4th. Mm-hmm. So we haven't even really dealt with football. Yeah, we're in spring ball right now. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get a little experience, a little glimpse of how it can be, a little sample size. But we don't really know. You know, Mike Tyson always talks about, you know, you always got a plan till you get some. Everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the face, right? So you know, this is Coach Hav's first time coaching, you know, and I think the guys are bought in. But at the same time, like, you never know till you know, like, if that makes sense.
No, totally.
Like,
yeah, no, it does.
The whole, like, it's a brand new staff. We're working on creating that relationship and that trust. But you don't know until the bullets fly. That's really how I see it. But I'm really excited for what we got right now and just spring ball going on as well.
Makes me excited for you. Is there, talking about the upcoming season, is there a specific game that you are looking forward to?
Yeah, just a game where I can go see my freaking family, see some fans.
San Diego State, November.
Yeah, no, I'm just excited to see fans. You know, that's what college football is about. Mm-hmm. Our fans in the stands, Because let me tell you, it was a drag last year without fans, with the cardboard cutouts.
And even when there was fans, there was barely.
They were all spread out. You know, yeah.
Appreciate them coming out, but dude, that was
I was nosebleed up in that corner.
Oh, it's terrible. It's awful. It's terrible. I freaking hated it. I hated it so much. It's a game changer when fans are out on that blue. And even when you're away, you know, just that adrenaline that you have. I mean, it's fun. It's what college football is about. It's that experience. Have fans to go watch college football.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's like a culture thing too for Boise State because the fans here are invested.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
What else is there in Idaho?
I think it was during a post-game interview. Brian Harsin was talking about just like not being able to have fans, and he had said like the energy that you feel inside Albertson Stadium when it's completely filled is like just indescribable.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's what I'm looking forward to. Our actual fans, my family can go to a freaking game. I didn't get to see them till June last year. Or I left in June to come back here, and then I didn't get to see them till January, you know, which stunk. So I'm really excited just to see them and watch me and us and just see fans cheer us on. That's what I miss.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too.
Do you think... So in terms of Andy Avalos and the new coaching staff, do you think there's a different culture in the facility, inside, in the team?
No doubt. Like I said earlier, I think change creates a new culture, creates a new energy. And I think you talked about it. Guys are excited. Guys are excited about the whole new regime. You know, like I said, I'm super grateful for Coach Harsin and Coach Hill and those guys, but for me, I'm really excited to see how it goes this season. Like I said, it doesn't really happen till it happens, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you guys do have your spring game coming up
April 10th.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you excited for that, or are the guys excited?
There's fans going to that, right?
Yeah, I think it's like 9,000 people get to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really? That many?
I'm pretty sure it's like a max of 9,000, which is 8,000 more than the most filled game last year.
Really? Yeah, I felt like not, you know, 1,000 people appreciate you guys, but felt like there were 10 guys out there.
I tried, okay?
Yeah.
I really did.
We tried to get there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. You guys are the ones that go to the games. I mean, how did it go last year as just a fan, as an outsider, with the way the season was? I know everybody's lives were kind of altered, but just as a fan, like, was it pretty tough? Like,
sucked.
Yeah.
It was awful. I mean, like, I look forward to football season. Like, I spent my whole freshman year in the stands cheering you on and cheering on the rest of the team. So, I mean, getting that taken away, it's not fun. Yeah. And, like, even when I got to go to one game last year, and like I said, I was sitting nosebleed up at the top, like, right above the end zone. And so, like, even if I was yelling, I felt like I was making no impact in that stadium.
Yeah, and I was in the press box the entire season, and we had the windows were open because of COVID stuff, but we couldn't cheer whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I would sit there and a like play would happen and I would like silently like get excited because I'm used to jumping up and down, or when we score a touchdown, we're like, we're doing fight song. We're like screaming and laughing and stuff. And I wasn't able to do any of that. I had to be serious and kind of in reporter mode. And it was just, it was an awesome experience. And I'm so grateful for that. And it's something that I'm looking forward to this next season for like away games and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's different and it's not ideal and it's not fun. And I would much rather be down on that blue, as I'm sure
everyone else would.
Yeah.
Things are looking up.
Yeah, things are looking up for sure. I'm hoping we just get back to some normalcy here. So.
Yeah. No, agreed.
So when will, I know you're in spring ball right now. When will game day focus start to come into play? So starting to prepare for that September 4th game.
Man, that's really far away.
Really?
Yeah, no, I mean, we won't really get into that until, you know, we have fall camp, which is kind of like spring ball again. Because, so you're only allowed 15 practices in the spring as far as padded practices with the coaches. There's just a bunch of regulations and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
So we'll get these 15 practices done. Spring break's right after. I'll go home for a little bit, watch my brother play, because California's playing right now. And then we'll come back. We got finals, and we'll do a little strength training, strength and conditioning for a little bit, with the coaches kind of backing off again, where you're just dealing with the strength staff again. Mm-hmm. And then we get to go home for May, which will be nice. We go home for May, and then you do summer workouts, and then from there, after summer workouts, you go into fall camp, and that's where you kind of get a spring ball again. And we'll do that back in August. You know, mm-hmm. I think we'll start game plan for them August, not too far out from the game.
That's so interesting. I mean, for competition season, we've been doing our competition dances.
May through May.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of get an off season with summer, but
yeah, a little bit.
So
yeah,
it's definitely different, but yeah. That's cool.
I'm really excited for you. I'm excited for this new era of coaching staff. I think it'll be really cool for Boise State in terms of change and a different perspective and culture.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell everyone where to follow you on Instagram, Twitter?
For sure.
Yeah. Pimp yourself out a little bit.
Yeah. No. Like I said, I just made an Instagram.
Yeah.
At QBHank19, made that not too long ago.
Yeah. Your follower count has kind of
has it died down?
Yeah, a little bit. His head was a little big for about the 24 hours that he first made it, but
yeah, no. I did make an Instagram. I got a what is it? Twitter at QBHank19. Jump on there sometimes. excited about the Instagram deal. Still working on how to learning it and, you know, Instagramming and stuff. So. Yeah.
It'll come with time. Good. It'll come with practice.
Yep.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
It was so much fun, and we're really lucky to have you on.
Yeah. Finally.
Yeah. No, this is awesome, man. This is a cool, really cool studio. Yeah. No, it's a really cool studio. I think you guys are doing an incredible job. I'm not biased or anything either, but I think the setup's really good, and you guys do a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Well,
Hold the Mic loves Hank Bachmeyer.
Yes.
Well,
that's a wrap. I think that's a wrap.
Yep. Sweet. We'll see you guys next week. Actually, we'll be in Florida.
Yes. So
see you in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at Hold the Mic Podcast.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date on Hold the Mic.
Be sure to follow our Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook accounts at Hold the Mic Podcast.